In my previous lesson, I mentioned the many things that we shall not do. We all learn early in life that there's a lot of things that's not acceptable to our parents or even to God. And sometimes people feel that if I just don't do those things that's forbidden, I'm good with God. God requires more than just not doing the things that are forbidden and not being like the people that do these things. God requires much more than that. Yesterday I mentioned this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus replied, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Then Nicodemus asked the question, how can these things be? Jesus' reply was, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is how it all takes place. God sent his Son that we could have eternal life. Jesus also points out that this new birth, this born-again experience, comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must be born again, born of the Spirit, born of something that we can't see. I know it's hard for people to believe in something they can't see. Jesus says, blessed is he that believes and have not seen. God expects more from us than not doing certain things that are forbidden. We are expected to repent, change our minds about our sinful ways, turn to God, accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. God expects us to confess our faults one to another, that we may be healed. Peter said this, the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? Peter asked the question, what manner of persons ought you to be? The Bible tells me that we are to be holy because he is holy. We are to be filled with the Spirit because Jesus commanded this. We are to be filled with righteousness. Jesus says, blessed are they that hunger, for they shall be filled. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We are to be filled, be holy, be steadfast, be filled with the fruits of righteousness. We are also expected to walk Galatians 5 and 16, Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We are to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. Paul told the Corinthians, "Stand fast in the faith. Quiet you like men. Be strong." Ephesians 6 and 14 tells us, "Stand therefore, having our loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We can stand. Paul is saying we need to stand with the full armor of God. It's designed to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. And all of this comes by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Reading about the life of Christ and his words, works, and miracles should instill within us the faith that is needed to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. However, we must read with a mind that is willing to accept the word as the truth. Faith must become a part of all aspects of our lives. Our activities and decisions must be based on our belief in God. This faith in God reassures us that there is always someone, and that someone is God, who is in control, and that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Isn't that a more comforting thought than the atheist's belief that there is no God holding everything together? Real faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God will cause us to repent, to be remorseful of our sins. When we realize what he has done for us, when we realize that God has made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This kind of faith in Christ brings us to remorse. It brings us to repentance and to ask God for our forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Believing and repenting are inward conditions that are not seen by man, but there is an outward manifestation of being born again that the world can see. After we confess our sins to God, we must confess our faith in Christ to the world.